Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 22 of It's Just Bodybuilding. Of course, it's me, Big Ron Parlow, sitting here with Dusty Hanshaw. And on today's show, we have Sean Clarita, the giant killer. This is going to be awesome. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this episode. Hey guys, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding. How's it going, Dusty?
Good. I'm recovering. I flew in town late last night, and then I had to go pick up my son at grandma's house, which is 30 minutes from my house. Oh, it was a mess. And then of course you get home and your body goes, you know, you should wake up now. It's 2 a.m. Why should you sleep? Right. But I'm already awake. Well, then stay awake. So that's what happened. So yeah, I'm actually not stoned. My eyes are just watering. It's different this time.
You're not at your prime.
I feel bad a little bit.
We normally get you at your prime, Dusty. You know, all well rested, ready to attack the week on a Monday morning with a cup of coffee in your hand. So I'll try to pick up a bit of slack. Maybe is that what you're gonna need to.
You know, we got a big little guest here today. The freakiest, in my opinion, smaller bodybuilder ever, because it's just like bubbles of muscle.
Yeah.
It's just like me, but different.
He's one of a kind. But before we bring him on, I have to remind everybody, of course, you know that how all the bullshit works. You got to like and you got to subscribe, because then that helps us out, blah, blah, blah. You know how algorithms do their thing. So like and subscribe. And you know what else? If you comment and share, fuck. Now we're basically family at that point. So do what you can to help out the show. Right, Dusty?
Yeah, you threw me off on the family thing because I don't talk to most of my family. But anyways, yes.
You're way nicer to the fans of the show than you are to your own family.
Yes.
Okay, let's bring on the giant killer.
What's going on?
We're doing good. We're happy to have you. We were just trying to think of a proper way to introduce you. So I don't know. We just said, giant killer sums it up. I mean, there's no one else doing what you're doing, man. How do you feel?
I feel good, man. A great year. Very motivated right now going into 2020 season, and I'm excited for what we're going to bring this year.
Yeah, it's you've been one of the guys, like Dusty and I have talked about you many times. Like, you know, we see at the shows and you drop by the expo and blah, blah, blah. And you're probably pound for pound the strongest pro bodybuilder, do you think, Dusty?
Yeah, a lot of guys are talking about, you know, Akeem and a lot of guys who are really strong, but I think I'm one of the stronger guys, just as, you know, strong as Akeem is or so.
Yeah, I mean, if you do the math, I mean, what's your body weight right now?
195.
Do you go over 200?
I'm trying.
Oh, you're trying. Okay.
It's stubborn, man. It doesn't want to, like, the it just burns so quickly. Just because of the way I train at night, and it just burns from everything. I'm eating ice cream every night, cookies, you name it, I'm eating it, and my body just drops weight.
Maybe you should switch flavors. Maybe you have the wrong flavor. You didn't think about this. This is just scientific fact.
Dusty thinks that his mustard is the reason that he can deadlift so much, and that everyone was using the same mustard as him.
You can't just be going with like yellow mustard. That's bullshit. That's some weak shit.
What I mean? Yeah. It's a secret. But so Sean, you're, let's get the bodybuilding stuff out of the way, right? you're probably the lightest guy on stage in the 212s, right? There's no one lighter than you.
No, lightest one.
Yeah. So what's your stage weight last year?
This past Olympia, I was 169 on stage.
Man, oh man. So what's the gap there? The other guys are all just under 212, right? They're just making weight.
Yeah, I think Derek, Kamal, all those guys were around, you know, 205, 212, right around that area.
Yeah. So what do you think you need to do to your physique?
I mean, I want to put on another 5 or 10 more pounds like I did the previous year. But the same thing, I just got to get my back bigger, thicker, wider, my chest a lot fuller. Just keep doing what I'm doing, to be honest with you, and keep showing up. That's the main thing.
Yeah, you've been one of the guys that has improved like every single year, pretty much. Yeah. You know, because I mean, you know, once guys get to the pros, I mean, especially the Olympia stage, you know, it's hard to make improvements. Like, you know, you're topping out a lot of the guys, right?
Yeah.
What do you think has been, I mean, obviously the consistency and stuff, but what do you think is the key to you improving?
I'm just relentless, man. I see myself, I said, I want to retire until I win an Olympia title. And when I win one, I want to win 10 before I step away from the sport, to be honest with you. And I'm hard on myself. I'm very hard on myself. I'll kill myself in the gym just to make sure I'm better than I was the last show.
Well, that's, I mean, anyone on Instagram sees what you're doing in the gym.
Can attest to that.
Yeah. So this is me and Dusty love talking about training.
Yeah, of course.
But all the mindset stuff. So, you know, the guests that we have on the show tend to kind of be the like hardcore gym guys, you know, and have a little bit of that in their personality. So what's your mentality towards training? Like, you know, you hear some of the guys talk about getting angry. Other guys talk about, like, I mean, JP listening to The Lion King. You know, like, what's Sean Clarita's, you know, what's your thing?
I just tell myself no one's doing what I'm doing. And in order to get what I want to get to, I got to push that limit no matter what. You know, I try to go and lift as much heavyweight as I possibly can as many times as I possibly can. And you know, I don't think about getting hurt. I don't think about anything negative. I just think about getting that set done and moving on to the next, to be honest with you.
Man, so what's your training philosophy? Like, or how many sets are you doing? What's your volume like?
I've always been a low volume guy, just heavyweight. I've tried all the splits, you know, but I think what works best for right now is the push pull. Mm-hmm. I've been working with John Meadows. He and I have been, you know, working together for almost four or five years now. And we figured out that my shoulders were dominant to my chest. So my chest is always looking small. So we actually pulled back from direct shoulder work. So right now, my split in the prep was Mondays I was training back and biceps. Tuesdays, chest, shoulders, triceps. Wednesdays, we'll hit for legs. And then Thursday, repeat Monday, which is back and biceps again. Friday, we'll get hit it again with chest, shoulders, triceps. And then Saturday was glutes, hamstrings. And then Sunday's my day off.
So you're 6 days in a row. So you're only training quads once. So you felt your quads were a bit dominant, like you didn't really have to worry about them?
Yeah. Read that. We don't have to worry about the quads. You know, hearing feedback from judges and guys like Sean Ray said my quads are pretty dominant. My hamstrings need the most work. So that's why we just included hamstrings twice instead of quads.
Right.
Man. So that's where, you know, Dusty and I have had this conversation before about doing what you have to do to become a pro and then how things change when you're a pro.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else has changed for you as you've gotten more progressed in the sport?
When I first started competing, I think the biggest challenge for me was the food. I wasn't eating enough. And once I started working with Matt back in 2016, I sent him my diet when we first started working together. And he said, the reason why you're not progressing and moving forward is because you're not eating enough. You're under eating. So obviously working with him, he gave me a new plan. It took me about a month and a half to get used to eating all that food.
Right.
But the thing is, once I got used to that, then I started noticing the poundages in the gym got better. The look of my physique got better. And just, you know, slowly, surely, I started, you know, doing well and doing better in shows.
So do you see your poundages in the gym in direct correlation to the development of your physique?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm T-bar rowing, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 plates, my back has no choice but to grow, get better, improve. For sure.
Yeah, because there's, you know, we really try to harp on nailing the basics and you know, we always come back to progressive overload and, you know, keeping form the same, obviously something has to go up. And yeah.
I'm all about form as well, but sometimes you just got to go in there and just rip it, man. It ain't always, it works.
Yeah, Dusty knows a bit about that.
Well, that's the thing I think it blows my mind. I think it's good that you bring it up is, you know, it what kills me, I just literally, I'm sure you guys already saw, but Luke put up a video dumbbell press in the 220s. Yeah. And of course, there's 700 comments, and the first one I see is, you're begging for a pec tear. And I'm like, why do people think that just because your 100-pound dumbbell press is harder for you than the 220-pound dumbbell press is for him? Like, I don't know how they get caught up on the idea that because it's heavy, it's more dangerous. It's like, No, if he can handle that weight, I mean, he leaned him back himself. Nobody handed him to him, nothing. He fucking leaned back, kicked him up.
Did he put him on his own lap, too?
Probably. He probably picked him up one at a time, grabbed a drink while he was holding one, realized, oh, shit, they're already filming. I should probably start. But, you know, I mean, I bring that up, though, because I think that what you just said is key, which is, you know, sometimes you're nailing perfect form. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, but it's fucking 600 pounds and I'm rowing it, so something's got to grow.
There's the back training is that way for me. I think there's certain exercises that are like best done like a certain way. And then there's certain row machines where if I just load them up and haul on them, like my back just explodes with blood.
So there's
something going on, you know? Absolutely. And that's like when you watch Dusty do barbell rows, there's so much tension at the turnaround, you know, when they hits the bottom of the rep and pulls up into the next rep, there's so much tension that you're like, oh, well, that's where like the overload is. It's just absolutely off the charts. Absolutely. So now what about like, who do you look to for inspiration? You know, like you have people watching your videos before leg day and people watching your videos before chest day, but you know, what are you watching before leg day? You know, what do you think you doing?
This past year, I watched a lot of Dorian and a lot of Flex Lewis videos, to be honest with you. For Dorian, obviously, we know Dorian was probably one of the hardest workers for his time. And just watching him train back and kind of go into that craziness mindset of just saying, fuck it, I'm just going to rip this weight and get it done. That kind of like, all right, so I got to get like Dorian. I got to get that mindset and go into the gym and pull and row and do everything he's doing. And obviously, with Flex, more so the inspiration. Obviously, he was a 7th camp. And he's someone that, you know, mentored me coming up. And I kind of want to follow his footsteps, but at the same time, create my own legacy while doing so. So watching all his videos, seeing where he started to where he's at now, it just kind of, I just kind of follow that same game plan.
Do you find with that same thing, I'm assuming the answer is yes, but it's got to be nice to have, I don't call it pressure because it's a good thing, but, you know, you got so many people that go watch your videos for their own thing. And when guys point out and say, man, I come watch your videos before I hit the gym, or you put up a leg training video and the guy's like, oh, thank fucking God, I'm gonna go train legs right now. That's gotta be a good push for you too, kind of like your own work and what it does for the people who follow you and support you.
Absolutely, that keeps me going. And I tell these guys, man, I don't put the videos up for myself. I don't give a shit what I did in the gym. I do it for those guys. You know, for the guys who are looking for the inspiration, looking for tips and ideas. I get a lot of DMs from smaller guys. You know, obviously lighter bodybuilders saying, you know, you give us hope that we can make it one day. Because obviously when I came up, there was only like what, David Henry's a smaller guy. There weren't many of us that were smaller. So Marvin Ward, another guy, you probably know who he is.
For sure.
Bodybuilder. So these are guys that I look up to. Like these guys are making it. Like I'm going to follow those footsteps. So now these guys looking at me is like, you know, Sean did it. I can do the same thing. So I get a lot of awesome DMs, and it's very motivating, to be honest with you.
What do you do to take your mind off bodybuilding? Are you one of those guys that can do that? Or
he never does that. I know him.
I know Dusty over here has a hard time putting anything else in his brain, but I'm just wondering, like what else we got going on?
I mean, it's only when I'm prepping where it's 24/7, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
When prep starts, nothing matters. After that, when I start prepping, I even cut her off, just not purposely. It's just that I just, you know, I'm in my zone. But right now that I'm off season, I love, you know, going to the mall, you know, shopping, window shopping, movies, things like that. So I usually do the weekends where I kind of take my mind off of bodybuilding. But Monday through Friday, it's all game time for me.
Yeah. How much travel are you doing?
Right now, not much. I had to go to Gas, go to Texas a couple times with Gas this past year. But right now, not much, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. How long have you been with Gas now?
This is my second year.
Yeah. It's fun to go out there, eh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love going out, hanging out with Michael and the team and doing some shoots and stuff like that. It's awesome.
Yeah. They got a good thing going at Destination there. I went down there several times.
Yeah.
I watched that gym kind of grow. And now it's even, you know, they moved it now and it's even bigger.
Way bigger. Because they have the offices and the warehouse right in the gym.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, I see you train at like a handful of different gyms on Instagram. What kind of sort that out for me? Like, where's home for you and how far apart are all these gyms?
So I live in Jersey. So all the gyms I travel at, the four gyms, are maybe within 15, 20 minutes of each other. So I have my main gym is Powerhouse in South Hackensack. That's the gym, I grew up going to. And then obviously Signature Fitness, which the one you saw with the Planet Fitness colors, the yellow and purple.
Yeah.
Where is Planet Fitness? But it's not. I live down the street from my house. The new gym had opened up here, Iron Culture, in Cedar Knolls, New Jersey. They're very, you know, they're a new gym, but they have that old school mentality, a lot of great Arsenal pieces. And then obviously the one we talked about recently, Strong and Shapely, which is, what, almost 40 years old, but equipment is still amazing.
Yeah.
Didn't they just, didn't Bob just sell that gym or something?
Yeah, finally got rid of it. Finally sold it to someone, and a new guy who came in, he's actually looking to redo it. Not take away anything, but just make it a little bit better. Because a lot of pieces were broken. The cardio deck was super old. So he's redoing it.
Nice. Yeah. I was wondering, because when I heard about that, I was like, you immediately get afraid. You know, because even though there's things that would have made that gym better had he continued spending money, it's, you know, I mean, come on, there's a reason you kept going there. It's just a hardcore fucking place to get down. And so you hear a new person buys it, you're like, oh, shit.
I actually talked to you, and he's a real cool guy. And I told him, like, listen, the pieces that are in this gym are great. Don't get rid of them. If there's things you want to add to it, absolutely go for it. But the old stuff is the stuff you keep. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
You know, leg press, the Cybex press, that old school original pendulum spot. You're not going to find that stuff anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I just went to a gym the other day that used to have a pendulum, and they sold it.
Oof.
And I was like, why in the world would they have gotten rid of that? Because everyone there was like, yeah, we don't know why they got rid of it. We're pissed off it's gone. So it's just, it's funny sometimes that, you know, a gym owner comes in and gets rid of a piece that you're just like, what the fuck?
That's why.
Dusty had a bunch. I know you put up a post for questions.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the big thing that I've got with a lot of people with you, that I would love to know too is the mentality. I'm not talking about in the gym, but one thing, and I've known you for years, obviously, you are someone I would say, because you're genetically awesome within your size.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, your shape and all that, but you and I talked before anyone was talking your name, and you were like, yeah, I'm going to win Olympia. And I know you, it wasn't an arrogance thing. It was as a matter of fact thing. What do you think, like, how would you say that has affected your career? And obviously positively, but, and how would you push people to be reasonable, but also don't necessarily fall on too realistic so that you can achieve your goals at least the highest level?
I tell people, you know, if you have a goal, shoot for it and do whatever it takes to get there. And if you don't achieve it, at least you gave everything you got. For me personally, that's always my goal is to be the best at whatever I did. And once I started competing and as a bantamweight, I turned pro, everyone kind of said, you know, you're too small. You're not going to do well as a pro. You should just quit and give up. Like, I made it this far. Who's to say I can't make it to the next level as far as winning a pro show or even make it to Olympia or winning Olympia? Like I said, that was instilled in me since day one of my parents. Like, if you want something, I don't give a shit what it takes to get there. You fucking do it. You know, and that's always been the mindset my parents have for me. That's what I've always done. So when bodybuilding came around, obviously, I knew I was the smallest guy on stage. I was giving up 30, 40, 50 pounds in my competition, but I didn't care because I was still kicking ass as a bantamweight, still beating, you know, the heavyweight guys for overalls.
Mm-hmm.
And once I turned pro, I said, you know what? This is my career starting all over again as a pro. Now it's time to really work and get to that next level, which is obviously Olympia. And little by little, I started, you know, working even harder, progressing in shows and then winning shows. And now I'm, you know, top three in the world. I never tell anyone your goals are too high or you're unrealistic. Like I said, if you have a goal, shoot for it. And if you reach it, that's awesome. And if you don't, at least you know you get everything you got to get to try. You never know till you try, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that's the key too, though. And I mean, you know, I know you get it all the time. I know Ron gets it all the time. Guys will come up and they say they have this big goal just like you, and they're so sure they're going to do it, but then their work doesn't match the mouth. Like, you know, guys will say, you know, I would love to know if you can even remember the last time you missed a meal. you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a lot to do with, I mean, you probably heard this over and over and over. Social media has killed everything, man, in my opinion, as far as the mentality. Because when we came up, there was no social media. Mm-hmm. We went and we trained our asses off and we got it done. You know, a lot of guys want that pro card or that, you know, that for that reason, to be Insta famous. Mm-hmm. I don't think about the Instagram. Like I said, I started when this didn't even exist. And I feel like a lot of people are now unrealistic because of social media. Because they see the guys with the big contracts and the big houses and the cars, they think they're going to get that same thing. But then they realize that it's not going to happen for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I love social media, but damn, it killed a lot of things for the sport.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely makes things in some ways more difficult to actually succeed because everyone's so concerned. I mean, I had a guy the other day. I was doing my usual and talking shit about myself, getting my toes done. I take a picture. And I put something like, you know, doing man shit. Yep. And I get a response from a guy. He's like, this is what drives me crazy. You know, how do you stay so lean when you're trying to eat so much? And I'm like, it's genetic. Like, I'm not trying to stay lean. You know, my face is fat as a fucking, look as round as possible. The fact that I have cellophane skin, there's nothing I can do with that. But guys are worried about that. Man, when I was starting, I was fat everywhere, but I was getting stronger. I didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, I'm already ugly, so I might as well be fat too. Fuck.
Yeah. What was your first period of time before you competed? Like, you started training at what age? Like, really young, right? Like, weren't you 13, 12?
When I started, it was in high school.
Okay.
Weight room was a part of a requirement for gym class.
Okay.
So it was, I was what, 13, 14, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then at what point did you do your first show?
I was 23. I was in college. I was a junior in college. I was actually a wrestler. So I went to Rider University, a D1 program, and I was actually a walk-on. And I did my first show and instantly fell in love with it and quit wrestling right then and there.
But the point is, there was like 7 years, 8 years Absolutely. In between that. So that's another thing that we get a little carried away with is people start training and then within 6 months they want to start competing. And so there's a real foundational element missing there. And, you know, I don't think that a lot of people realize that you don't get a physique like yours without a big foundational period of time.
Absolutely. It takes years to build that base. Absolutely.
So one question that Dusty and I have fired at a few people, is there a key moment in your life that you can think of that you think has led you to where you are now?
Honestly, it's crazy. So I remember it was my freshman year of high school. I was trying out for the basketball team. And
that's funny all by itself. Go ahead.
I tried out for the basketball team. I went to the 3 days of tryouts, and at the end, I didn't make the team. And I went to the coach, saying, "You know, was it something wrong with my skills, my ball? Because I thought I was doing good. I did good. And I think he just said, "You're just too small." And I'm like, "Fuck!" And I kind of like that still like plays in my mind, to be honest with you. Like it pisses me off to the point. And it's the same thing now. Like guys are saying, "Oh, you're too small. Like Clarita's too small to win the Olympia." Like, why is my skill, my hard work not good enough? Like, you know what I'm saying? I get it now, basketball, why you can be taller, like, whatever the case may be. But, like, it wasn't even, I still had the skill. I still had everything that it took to be a good point guard. But it was just a matter of just height. And I'm still hearing that today. He's just too small. So that plays in my head a lot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, man, that's a good answer because that totally makes sense. You know, especially at that age, you know, someone tells you something like that at that age, and it's like you probably couldn't be more receptive, mm-hmm. you know, to what kind of, you know, coaches are telling you and stuff like that. So I know we all have something that we can kind of like, maybe that was it.
Push the
you know
button.
What I mean? What was that?
Push my buttons a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think about that? Like, do you still think about that moment often or?
Yeah, man, every time you comment about, you know, I was just actually watching Olympia yesterday, and they were talking, you know, watching the finals and hearing Sean talk about it. And he was like, I like Sean, but he's just too small. I'm like, fuck. It keeps playing over my head. You're too small. But the thing, it's like, no matter how well I do or what I achieve in a sport, I'm always going to hear it. And he's got to tell me I'm too fucking small, but guess what? I'm going to win the Olympia under 175 pounds, period. You know, but right. Even when I win the Olympia, they're probably going to still have something to say about me, but it's all right.
well, if Sean Ray ain't bashing on you, you haven't made it yet. I mean, that's just a simple, you know, why don't you ask Roden how to whatever he is as well? You know what I'm saying? But I think what I like about that is like a, you know, and I'm stunned to hear it, but and I'm sure the numbers are changing. But to me, it's like, you know, when you first started your career, or even go all the way back to the basketball, that shows how your parents brought you up, which I think is so important. Is like that you're too small in an area where it's, I mean, your height is not something you can control.
Absolutely.
That can shut someone down permanently if they're not brought up the correct way. And you know, I don't know what terminology your parents used, but somehow they said to you, fuck that, do what you want to do. And that rang true to you. And when you do win an Olympia, it'll be fun to see all the people say, oh, I always knew. I always fucking knew he was going to get it.
Yeah, sure.
Dusty kind of just touched on you being like how you were brought up. Is there something that you can add to that? Like, do you have anything to any specific memories of how you were brought up that you think contribute to this stubbornness?
The biggest thing, the work ethic, is my dad's a workaholic, you know, and he was actually the first person that I actually picked up a weight was because he had like a little man room or a little den area that was just his. So he always had like a little dumbbell in there. So I would sneak in there when he was at work and start lifting it, even though I didn't know what the hell I was doing. My dad was a hard ass, man, very hard worker, worked a lot. I didn't see him much as a kid because he worked some crazy hours. But again, that work ethic I have now comes from both parents. My dad, it really played a part in me because he wanted to support his family. You know, that was the biggest thing, support my family, no matter what it took. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, as far as bodybuilding goes, I work my ass off and try to be my absolute best to support myself and my family. You know, so that's the biggest thing right now.
What would you say is your favorite place bodybuilding has taken you?
I've been a lot of places, man. India.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, India was an amazing experience because you see it on TV and you see it in videos and movies, like stuff like that. But to see it in real life, it was a sad experience to see, you know, the kids and the families sleeping on the street. But it just shows you, you know, how much, you know, we take stuff for granted. But out there, they're living life. They're happy despite not having much. You know, and to go out there and see it firsthand, it really kind of opened my eyes.
Yeah, I know what it's like to go somewhere and come back a little bit, like, different, you know, come back, change. I traveled all through Southeast Asia and everything, but I haven't been to India yet. And India's the place that so many people say.
Yeah, exactly. Because it really opened your eyes. It'll really open your eyes.
What do you remember about it that, like, surprised you the most?
The kids, man. The kids is running up to you because they thought you were a celebrity. Like, you know, we're there for a show for the World Games in 2011, and we're riding through the buses, obviously. And once we get off the bus, the kids are running up to you because these kids they think you're celebrities and you think you have a lot of money, but they're trying to get money to eat. And it was a sad experience, man. I mean, I loved it, but it was just sad to see everything. I'm glad I was able to go out there. And again, when I came back here, it really opened my eyes. And showed myself how good we really have it here.
Oh yeah, I can't even. I mean, I think that's something most of us hopefully don't ever have to experience. Yeah. But to understand, like, when we think of the things that we want or that bother us, when you think of the grand scheme, I mean, you know, I've had some moments in my life that were pretty low points, and when you're describing them to friends of yours, I have to say out loud too, like, I'm aware this is fucking pathetic. as I'm crying about my life in comparison to the rest of the world, you know what I mean?
Seriously, it's so. I mean, you think you have it hard? Someone else has it ten times harder than you somewhere else.
I think that's key with bodybuilding, though, too. I mean, like, when you know, when you're doing what you do, everyone has this idea in their head that you know, like you, I mean, how much food you must have to eat to be your size, because your body wants to be 120 damn pounds. You're okay. Pushing it to be 200. It's not like there's probably a day that goes by that you ain't force feeding. You know, I mean, and guy, you see guys crying about that online. It's like, this is a luxury, you know?
Exactly. It's absolute luxury. I mean, these people are eating once a day, twice a day, if they're lucky, you know, sleeping on the street.
Right.
It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. And again, it really kind of changed me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Made me, again, appreciate life a lot more, appreciate what I had here, and realize what I think I have hard isn't shit compared to what these people have. You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. have it worse than what I have. So I'm not going to sit here and bitch and moan about eating 5 or 6 meals a day and having to go to the gym. These people would love to eat just, you know, 2 meals a day, you know, have a place to sleep, you know? So.
Yeah. Our brutal diets would be a day from heaven to eat that much food for them.
Yeah, man. I was going to say, have you ever, like, you always struck me as someone who is a fan of bodybuilding, no matter how high up the ladder you get, you know? And I seem to like talking to the people that are like that, because that's how I am, you know? Yeah. But you still had moments where you were like starstruck or blown away. Like, is there anything that you've seen where you're just like, holy fuck? Now, I know I'm a good bodybuilder, but that's just fucking crazy.
I mean, like you were saying, like, I've always been a fan. Like, when I was an amateur, I would go to any, if it was a bodybuilding show or an event or a seminar, I was there every fucking week, and I would drive fucking hours just to go to the seminar. And I still do that today, to be honest with you. And like, again, even where I'm at today, like, just watching the open body, but like last night I'm watching it, like I said, and it's just like, fuck, you know, looking at Brandon and Hottie in person is absolutely fucking ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen him like in like this close.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking maniac in person. This guy can fucking eat his face off too. I'm a huge fan, and I think I'm a realist that had he been in the 212, man, I would have been like fourth this year probably. Real. Because he would have killed everybody. But yeah, I'm still a fan, man. I see these guys in the open, I'm just still like in awe by how much muscle, how conditioned, the structure. And even guys in my division, like I see guys like, you know, Flex or, you know, even David Henry in his prime time, man. He was fucking mind blowing. You know, it was awesome. It's awesome.
Do you find it interesting ever, like, I mean, especially like with Gasp, to think of like, and I already like know, like, you come up watching Branch and Johnny, and now they're like shooting you a text, hey, we're going to breakfast. Like, is that blow your mind sometimes?
When I went to Sweden last year with Branch, I was like nervous. I'm like, it's fucking Branch. What do I say? Do I not say anything? It's like, it's Branch. You know what I mean? Like I said, I grew up watching Branch, and whenever we saw him, he was always, fuck this, fuck that train, you know, and I'm like scared. I'm like, I don't want to piss this guy off. That's really what I was thinking. Like, I don't want to piss him off. But when you get there and it's not bodybuilding and it's just, you know, you're hanging out, Branch is a totally different person, man. He was absolutely amazing. He talked to me a lot and it really gave some great ideas about what it took to get to that next level. Because obviously, Branch has been there. He's been mm-hmm. as high as at the Olympia, has won the Arnold, you know, as many times as he has. So it was definitely great to hang out with him and see the other side of Branch,
right. But also
get the feedback and the help that he provided me the weekend that we were there.
Who do you think has been your biggest mentors along the way?
They're not an IFBB pro. It's actually a guy named Clarence McGill. I don't know if you know it. He's one of the best natural bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
NPC IFBB, I competed over in a natural federation. So I met him in 2006. He actually had a competitor in the heavyweight class, and I was competing in the bantamweight class. And I ended up winning the bantamweight and the overall, beating his guy out. So he came backstage immediately after that show, you know, congratulated me and pretty much said, you know, welcome to the pros, whatever. You know, I'm Clarence McGill, yada, yada, yada. He actually gave me the name Giant Killer that day. He's like, you're a giant. Like, And so that name I've had since 2006. But he's someone that I can call any given time, any given day, and just talk to him just about life, about competing. And anytime I have a show, he calls me right before the show. And he, like, gets my mind in, like, that fucking zone. He's like, Sean, this is what you work for. This is everything you wanted. You know, go out there and kill it the same way. Like, he gets into my fucking head perfect. Mm-hmm. And I say, thanks, Clarence. And I'll go get it. And I'll go get it done. So he's been one of my biggest mentors in the sport.
Watching out for you.
Always. I mean, that's the biggest thing. He wants me to succeed. He's been to a lot of my shows in New York Pros. He's always there, him and his wife, Najiri. Big fans, big supporters of mine. I mean, I love them both, man. I love them both.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's an individual sport, but there's always, you got to have that support network, you know? I mean, that's why Dusty has Harvey running around the house, you know?
Man shit, that's right.
We had a bunch of listener questions. Dusty had a few, didn't you?
Yeah, no. I've always got them. Un moment. This is the tricky part. Okay, perfect. All right, so the first one I've got here is, number one, what is your next show? And are you planning on waiting all the way to the Olympia, or are you hitting some shows along the way?
Yeah.
My first show will be the 2020 Olympia.
Right, so straight to the O.
I did that this year. I feel like having a whole year off really helped my body. Get ready for the past Olympia. It was fresh. And I think I did well, obviously, so I'm going to replicate that this year. Do the same thing.
Do you have any plans of, as you know, this sport is all marketing now. what are you hoping to do this year to bring the fans along for the ride even more so?
I want to start a video series, League into Olympia. Mm-hmm. I haven't done much of as far as, you know, getting more videos to my YouTube. But we're definitely going to get a YouTube series going, probably like 20 weeks out from Olympia. Probably put out a video or two per week leading into Olympia. Having my video guy with me at the Olympia, kind of just, you know, being with me, you know, all the way.
Awesome. Nice. So like two videos a week for 20 weeks.
Yeah, two videos a week, exactly.
That's tons of content, man.
Be just bodybuilding. I want it to be everything I do, my massages, my food prep, food shopping with my family, just every, I mean, my entire life, not just training. There's much more than just bodybuilding.
Remember, if you can get some footage of you crying at any point, that is huge hits.
I only cried once this past prep.
Obviously spilt food. I know how that works.
You had a zero cry prep or a one, what'd you say, a one cry prep?
I cried once, man. I remember I was like fucking 4:30. I just got home from cardio at 4:30 in the morning. And I was just, I was at my fucking absolute brink. Like, I was just done. I was like, it was like maybe 3 or 4 weeks out. And like, I'm fucking tired. I'm still sore from the night before. I got to fucking do cardio. I don't want to fucking do this. And it's just like, it was just my moment. I need a moment.
I love that because anybody who's a good bodybuilder, I don't give a shit who you are, at least in your own mind, can go, I've had that moment where you're like walking on the treadmill and you're just going to break. And the only saving grace for me is that only people who really know me know. So everybody else thinks I'm this hard ass.
or when you're sitting at a red light and a song comes on and the last like 11 weeks of emotional suppression just come bubbling up. And
and next thing you know, Whitney.
Yeah, and then you know Whitney Houston singing, and you're holding onto the steering wheel, going, "We got fucking 45 fucking minutes on the treadmill. This is gonna fucking fuck." I don't know. Is that just me? That's not, I don't know.
That might be.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys share that one.
That's terrible.
Oh man. Now, what about when Sean looks at the men's open Olympia this year coming up. And you, this one here, yeah, the men's open. And you see possibility of Phil Heath coming back. See Rami. See Brandon. You see Hottie.
Hopefully Sean. William,
maybe Roden, who knows? Let's just pretend that might happen. What do you think would happen, man?
You're also going to put Dexter in, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Dexter's only got like 15, 20 more years, though. Then he's done. His career is almost over, like 15, 20 max.
He's going to start to decline soon.
Yeah. I mean, you got four. If that's the case, you got four Miss Olympias in one lineup. You know, they're all champions. They've all won Olympias for a reason. But if I had to give you a top three, I'm going to go Phil, Brandon, and I'm going to go Hadi.
Ooh, I like that one.
I've seen Phil up close in person. He looks phenomenal and like just so much detail and 3D muscle. Brandon obviously got the superior shape. He's doing what he's got to do out there in Kuwait. They're improving every year with him. I remember Brandon was 16th at the Olympia a couple years ago. Now he's Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, right. Last to first.
And then you got Hadi, who I think Hadi now has that full year because this past year, if you don't realize, he was on that brink. He wasn't sure if he was getting into the U.S. or not.
So,
training 100% or maybe going 50-50, just unsure. And if you can go, 50% and still place third in the world, who's to say a full year is not going to do even better?
So I saw Hadi won the Vancouver Pro here, right? So, yeah. I mean, he was training at my gym and I saw him backstage, he was standing with Hani watching him pose. And he was better at the Vancouver Pro than he was at the Olympia.
Exactly.
So he could still have been better. And so who knows? Like, there's still room for Hadi to be better, which is scary.
I think the stress of, again, not knowing and the short little prep he had.
Yeah.
That can ruin anybody.
And then the crazy flight showing up like 2 days out, that stuff. Who knows?
Exactly. But if he gets everything in line and he gives the full year, which he has a full year now to do it, I believe he's qualified. I think, Hadi can go as fucking second if not winning it, to be honest with you.
I don't think anybody would have blinked if he won it this year, to be honest. No. I mean, I didn't go this year. I did a Sean Roden boycott, but
Dusty does have amoral.
Yeah, I found it. I actually got a new shirt that a friend sent me. I'm going to be hopefully wearing it next week. It says morally flexible. I was like, how did you know that was for me? But I really think when I was watching, granted from home, I felt like the crowd that was there thought he could win.
Oh, the crowd loved Hadi. I was there.
Absolutely. He's got condition. He's got so much thick muscle. And the guy's only about, 225, 230 on stage?
Which is crazy because when you see him, you know that game? I mean, it's the same with you, Sean. Like if somebody said, just showed a picture and said, what does he weigh? And I didn't have anything to compare it to, I'd be like, I don't know, 220?
Yeah.
it's the illusion game. Well, what do you think about, I know the answer, but I'd like to know some in-depth. What do you think about Flex this year? What do you think is going to happen there?
I totally forgot about Flex, man. Jeez. Damn it.
Flex So that's five, Mr. Olympias, by the way.
It's crazy. I know. It's crazy.
Flex is, man. If Flex comes in 230, 240 on stage this year, I say right now, no matter what, he'll be in the first call out, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
He can definitely be in that top four for sure.
Yeah, isn't that wacky to think? Like, you take some time off, and everyone knows coming in that you're going to be right in that mix just because of who you are. And not his name, but who he is and what he does.
I mean, he's fucking an open Mr. Olympia when he's 4 or 5 weeks out from the show, and he has to suck down at 212. So he's losing all that fullness, all that pop, just to make 212. Now, he's going to keep all that now going into the show.
Have you ever seen Flex pose at 230? Like,
just in pictures.
Oh, man. That's the thing is that I don't have any clue what he looks like at 230 shredded.
Here's the funny thing about Flex that most people don't realize, too, because, obviously, like, his insane glute conditioning and all that. He has that at 240.
Yeah.
Like, so people think that that's when he sucks down. That's why I laugh, because when he turns and he's like, and he nails the glutes and hams, I'm like, motherfucker, you have that all year. come on now.
Those glutes so fucking deep like that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I think that people realize is everything that most people earn when they get down to 212, he has that at 230. So it'll be wacky, and he's training for it. You know, I mean, like, he just started his big push, and we touched base recently, and I'm thinking, well, you're gonna go up. Fuck, it's gonna be frightening to see what he's putting together. Plus, he's got such a great crew of guys, and this is something we've touched on before, is how cool it is now to see top guys training together and pushing each other to another level. You know.
Yeah, he's got you know all those guys down there: John De La Rosa, Rafael Brandeo. He's got Neil, obviously, in his corner. He's doing great, man. He's got a great, like you said, great crew around him pushing him. Mm-hmm. It's great that they're all in the open, but they're still, you know, pushing each other and motivating each other, which is awesome to see as well. Because a lot of guys, are like, oh fuck that, I'm not gonna train with my competitor. No, they're all, you know, they're all friends. They're all pushing each other. They all want the best for each other, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it, though. When you look back at some of the best physiques, I mean, I don't think that Chris Cormier or Flex would have been as good as they were had they not been training with a guy who could beat them.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you know damn well when you're training, when you're Flex Wheeler or you're Chris and you're training for an Olympia, like, you see him get one extra rep or he's getting his food in a little better, he's tightening up quicker than you. If you have a soul for winning, that's going to make you work a little bit fucking harder.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even when I see, you know, pictures of my competitors online, even though I don't really focus on it, but when I see it, it's like, all right, time to turn it up even more. I'm trying to push a little bit more.
Do you have a training partner?
My girlfriend.
Oh, okay. She trains with you all the time.
Every day for the past 5 years.
Oh, man. Okay. So you've got, like, the, you know, perfect trained spotter, knows exactly what you want, social media manager. You've got...
I mean, people laugh like, "Oh, you train with your girlfriend?" Like, yeah, but she fucking works like a dude.
Yeah,
like, she's an asshole in the gym. Meaning, she'll tell me if my shit's not good. Like, you had more in you. Why did you fucking not go another rep? Or
yeah, she's watching out for you in every way.
Yeah, absolutely. I love her for it. You know, because she doesn't blow smoke on my ass. I don't need that.
Dusty put up a great post the other day about, remember when that guy asked you, "Hey, you know, can we catch a workout one day?"
I'm the same way. It's like, that's our time, man. I no offense. I just, no, that's our time. She gets me. She knows what I need, how to spot me, when to spot me. I just can't let anybody, any outsiders come in and mess up that flow, like you said.
Well, I think the other thing people don't realize when they think about, you know, training with your wife, your girl, is if they have the mentality, and obviously she does, and the ability to leave. Well, I always tell people when we get in the car and we're heading to the gym, nothing else matters. Exactly. The car breaks down on the way there, I don't even give a fuck. I'm going to grab an Uber. I'm going to leave. I'm not even calling the tow truck. I'll figure that shit out later.
Yeah.
We're going to go get this done. But the other thing is, you know, I've had that obviously for years. You know, I'll end up training there. You know, if you've been in my life for any length of time and I need you, like, if I'm incline benching 405, I don't need you to be able to pull up 405. I need you to pull up 10. Can you pull up 10 pounds? That's how much I'm going to need to make it. And that's where people don't understand. They see this little girl or whatever spotting you, and it's like, well, I don't need her to take all of it.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you know, when you need to squeak out one more rep, you need 10, 20 pounds of help, not 400.
Yeah, you need someone who knows what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You get a random guy, they're fucking doing the work for you. You might as well just sit back and let them fucking pull your weight the whole time.
And there's also, like, there's also the risk of injury with a bad spotter, right? So, you know, you're rolling around in $1 million physique there, Sean. You can't have anyone hurt you, you know?
Yeah, and I feel bad. You know, these guys in the gym say, "Hey, I would love to work out with you one day." It's like, ugh. You know, I'm trying to word it to where I'm not sounding like an asshole to these guys, but it's like, you know, and not only that, like, that's our time together, me and her. Like, mm-hmm. She works full time, and I work from home, obviously, and our schedules are pretty crazy. So that's kind of our time together, you know?
Right.
As crazy as it may sound to some people, like, that's how you spend your time together? It's like, yeah, but that's what we enjoy, you know, the training. Especially when I'm prepping, because when I'm prepping, I don't really talk to her much because I'm not there. But when we're in the gym, that's our time together. We talk a little bit, you know, mostly about the gym, but, like, that's our time together, so...
Yeah,
I think it's badass because, you know, she has, I mean, this is your future as a couple, mm-hmm. and you guys are both working on it. So to me, it only makes sense that she has her role. And I love, you know, obviously, I know you guys on a more personal level, but it's funny that people don't realize that that role is, it allows you to do what you do. All of her roles and the hats that she wears within your guys' team are enormous. So I can't imagine someone trying to flip that or someone knowing you better in the gym, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. If she's not there, I'll still work out, but it's not the same.
You know, sure.
Having her there really kind of ensures me that I'm good. You know, having her spot me. And I said, we do this from start to finish, meaning we do cardio together at 4 in the morning when I'm prepping.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she comes home from work, we'll go to the gym at 6 o'clock at night and train. And that's us from start to finish. And when I start prepping my food and start dieting, she does the same thing. Obviously, she's not competing, but knowing that I'm dieting, she starts her diet at the same time.
That's badass. I like that, man. That's definitely she just went up the ladder of badass for me right there.
Yeah. Has she's competed before, right?
Never competed.
Never competed, eh?
Competed. But she was a little bit heavier on the heavier side. And she ended up losing over 160 pounds on her own.
So, oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was a lot heavier than what she is. But she lost a lot of weight on her own. And just from YouTube videos, working out on her own, not really knowing what she was doing, just going to the gym. And obviously, I met her 5 years ago. She was at my gym doing on the Stairmaster. We started talking a little bit. And, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, we're together 5 years.
Oh, Stairmaster relationship.
Sean walks over. What you doing after this?
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably 50 empty step mills at the gym. And he went and got right on beside her.
Oh, that's freaking gold right there. You know, it's crazy, though, because I cannot even imagine her being heavy. Like, I've only known her as she is now. Like, that blows my mind.
People don't, that was you. Like, yeah, she was a lot heavier, man.
That's badass. So I love that. There's a perfect person to ask the question of, like, when was that switch made? I mean, to drop that kind of weight. I mean, you woke up one day and said, fuck this.
I think for her, it was a health scare, to be honest with you.
Really?
She had to get her shit together, you know, and then it was just, that was like, flip the switch for her. That was it.
No, that's bad. I love that stuff because it's something we preach all the time. And I know you guys work with clients as well. It's like, I'll tell clients when they're struggling, I'm like, when you're ready, it'll click.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be, but when it's time, it all gets easy. It ain't hard to diet. Like, you know, you guys know how it is. It's like when a prep starts for me. So, you know, if Chris called me and said, you're going to start prep next meal and sent me a diet, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, just flip the switch and it's done. You don't need to eat this shit no more. You get to work. You know, I think that's badass. So that brings a whole new dimension to your guys' training. Because I know she's a huge supporter, but now I know she's your secret.
Yeah.
Don't be telling people that. They're going to try to borrow her. Come to the gym with me. They're going to be messaging her soon. I want you to come train with me.
Good luck. That won't fuck up.
I see a trend here. We got JP training with his girl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then we got Sean training with his girl. I mean, it's more common than we know, Dusty.
You know why that is, right? You train with people you're afraid of. And we all know you don't fuck with your woman, she will whip your ass. So.
Oh, no. That's for sure. That's a good motivation.
He's definitely the boss, though.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks a lot, man. I know we really appreciate the hour of your time, brother. You know, we always throw names around like who should we have on, and it all comes down to who has the best Instagram clips. And
it does seem to be what it is. Fuck, it is all about the gram.
Like, well, fuck, we got to have Sean Clarita on. I mean, this is crazy. It's getting out of hand, you know?
I appreciate it, guys. Like I said, I've been following you guys and watching the videos. It's been awesome. So congratulations on everything you guys are doing as well with that. Awesome.
Yeah, no, we appreciate everyone giving their time to come on the show. That everyone that's been helping us out. You just joined a list that we're pretty proud of, the guests so far. So we're very happy to include you. You know, I always try to do anything I could for you. It's a fucking crazy business we're in, isn't it?
Seriously, it's always good to see you at shows and our events and expos. I appreciate you guys, man, for this opportunity.
Okay, thanks. Okay. We'll tag the shit out of you and probably annoy you on Instagram over the next week, and you can repost something if you want.
Absolutely will. Absolutely.
Okay, bye, thanks, John. Man.
All right, guys. See you soon.
Good luck at the Olympia.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
That's okay. It blows my mind when we how this happens every time. Everyone we bring on the show, I think everyone, what, pretty much, I know really well, and then I find out shit I did not know. Like, I had no idea that that he trained with his girl all the time.
Yeah, well, it looks like he trains by himself, because you just see clips of him going like all nuts on a set. Yeah. And he usually doesn't have a spotter on those sets, right?
Yep.
So I wasn't sure if he like just, you know, trained solo or not.
It's funny because obviously, you know, with me, like, I train with two guys, so that I've got someone to video and then got someone to spot, because I don't want to do that heavy shit without, you know. So like this weekend, I had the tripod out for one set because it's a pain in the ass to me. So I'm like,
yes,
I'm going to get one video from this workout. It better be good.
I gotta hand it to you, Dusty. You're very consistent with you'll go to the tripod if you have to, and you'll get it done.
Yeah, you gotta find a fucking way. And some of these tripods are a lot of work, so I want extra credit points on that shit for sure. Because having my guy handle this shit while I do nothing is much more my style.
I saw you hammered a leg day at Quad's gym.
Yes, and actually, Dave asked about you.
Ah.
Yeah, he was like, hey, what's going on? You know, tell Ron hi and blah, blah, blah. It was funny. He, every time, because I've been going there more, obviously, when I see him, we have a good, I need about a 30-minute window before I can start training.
Right.
We catch up. We do some super old school bodybuilding talk. He's been open for 45 years.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. He's a great guy. He treated me awesome and he loved being on the show. I could tell at first he was a little nervous.
Right.
And then, like, as we started filming and he started, like, telling stories, he just started, like, just going. And we wound up getting, like, almost, like, three times the stories we could fit into the episode, you know?
Yeah.
And then by the time we were done shooting that day, he was, like, just, you know, super relaxed. And it seemed like he had a good time. And then when he saw the episode, he was like, holy shit, you know? He really liked it.
Well, he's got the mutant banner. Dead nut center in the upstairs, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I always love seeing it when I come in and you know, get some nasty training there. I had a couple of guys. It was funny because what we talked about on this show, I had a kid come over to me and he's like, are you Dusty Hanshaw? Because I'm covered head to toe because I wasn't filming and I was training back, and I was like, yeah. He goes, I fucking thought you were. And then he starts asking me some questions and it was so funny. He goes, what do I got to do to really go? And he goes, and it made me laugh. He goes, I've been training for 2 years. And I just laughed. I was like, oh, so you're getting warmed up. That's good.
Just getting going, man.
You know, like, he had no idea. I was like, 2 years? You're doing good, kid. You got a lot of, you know, I said, you multiply that by five and you're going to really be somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, the decade is kind of like the flat line to you in the club.
Right. Must be this tall to join this to get on this ride or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It was you must be putting in at least a decade to do this. But yeah, it was funny because I'm thinking, well, man, I asked him, I said, well, have you been training at this gym since you started? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, that sucks because you have a hard time finding a better gym ever than the gym you warmed up in.
Can't ever move.
Exactly. So no, I freaking, every chance I get, I trained there twice this weekend and neither time was what I was supposed to train, because I wanted to play. So I was like, oh, I gotta do back, of course. And I was, well, you'll love this. I flew in Thursday night. I trained back on Thursday and I got there and I was like, I want to do that pullover. I guess we'll train back today.
Right.
Friday.
That's pretty funny.
So I'm doing 500-pound rows on Thursday. I'm doing a back workout on Friday. Kids, don't do what I do. Do what I say.
Dusty, with the truth, it's not always about what's actually good for you. It's about the advice you can give others.
Exactly, because I just want to go play. So I'm going to do what I do, and then I'll tell you what you shouldn't do.
You mentioned that kid starting to train at that gym, quads. Yep. And then, you know, the possibility of him, you know, growing up and moving away and not being able to find a better gym. And there's a little bit of satisfaction whenever I run into someone. Like, there's a few people that have, like, trained at our gym for a while, and then they, like, moved away for work. And you run into them, and they're like, I miss that gym. And there's some real satisfaction in that. But you would understand that, like, you have those gyms that you're comfortable at.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, no, that's the thing is when you, it is true, like, and you know this, like, so the gym I train at primarily is not my favorite gym, but they're my favorite bars.
Ah.
And it's funny because they're not like a Texas, I don't even know what the fuck they are. They're just awesome. Like, if I ever move, I will, like, go to the owner of the gym and be like, here's $500. That bar is 12 years old and I'm taking it with me. Like, this is now mine. Can we work this out? Is this something we can do? Because, you know, I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, so I learned my deadlifting there and the bars have zero whip. So I don't like deadlifting bars. I deadlift with a squat bar. Now, you know that. We went out to your gym. I'm like, what is the stiffest, nastiest bar you have that's terrible?
I gave deadlifts. You like the center neural power bar.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the one. Oh, it doesn't bend at all. Perfect. The one that any good powerlifter would tell you is terrible for deadlifts. That's the one I'm looking for. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's true. You get used to that stuff. And, you know, I could see that totally. Like, if I was anywhere near your gym and didn't know you, I would find a reason to drive there to train if I was in town, for sure. I mean, I stayed 30 minutes away from quads. I only trained twice. I trained there both times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Traffic doesn't matter when you're within an hour of quads.
Yeah. Fuck that. We're going.
Yeah. Let's do a few listener questions here on the roundup. I know you had some normal ones too that were for you and me.
Oh my God. There's always a million.
We always get asked for more coaches' corners. So
a big one, and I think this is a good one for you to answer, is when someone is struggling to get consistent and it's your client, but you know they want to, how do you help them kind of get out of that? Because that's something I've had a lot of people hit me with on the regular. Do you think there's a way to get someone into that groove of consistency when they're just struggling?
You sort of mentioned it. You kind of said it earlier when we were talking to Sean, like something has to click for them. Like, and I mean, there's different things I would maybe try to do to encourage that along. You know, just trying to remind people of how much worse it is when they don't follow the plan. You know, maybe I'll try to trigger an efficiency switch in their head to talk about wasting time. Like, do you want to waste years of your training? Like, this is just wheel spinning. Like, try to introduce the concept that they're just, I think when people realize they're wasting time, money, and effort, sometimes they like snap out of things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are kind of the three triggers, isn't it? Time, money, and effort. If you're wasting shit and I don't know, sometimes people can realize that, you know, they're being idiots.
Right. Yeah. Cause I just find it is a regular question. And I think it's key is to find, there's this, we don't always wake up wanting to eat all of our meals.
Right.
You know, I mean, the training, I'll be honest, I want to train every single day. That part is nothing. And in prep, the meals are fine. For me, the off season is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. When you're pushing down meals, you don't really want to eat. It is hard for me to understand not being able to flip the switch, because for me, when you have that end goal in mind, that's all I ever need when it's there. I struggled with it when I was when I wasn't trying to move forward in bodybuilding as much. I did find it was harder then. because I didn't need to be bigger.
Right.
I wasn't trying to win. So even when I would say, like, you know, I want to put some size on, I didn't have a reason to really do it. And so that's why I spent, 2 years not pressing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then, as soon as it became something that was, I had a reason again, now eating the food, it doesn't matter.
You push it down. Maybe that's what you do with a client then, I guess, to sum it up, is you got to find your why.
Right.
You know what they say? That's like a big, like, isn't that what all the gurus say? You got to find your why. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you doing this? Because, you know, we do live in an age where there are more people doing it for maybe the wrong why.
Right.
Than there used to be, right? You kind of had to used to, like, you know, I don't want to harp on old school, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, back when I started competing, it made you like more of an outcast, made you weirder. Like, oh, that guy's going to compete? Oh, that's weird. You know?
Right.
Whereas now, like, if you compete, you like sort of have a new, like, massive circle of friends.
Right. And, no, that's true.
And that's awesome. Because you click in and
you immediately want to be a pro, and you're not even sure if you like this yet.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, another thing is I don't ever want to sound like I think there's something wrong with those people, because it's not even their fault. It's just like how things have changed, you know? And and then a lot of them will realize at some point, they're like, oh, I don't really love this. I just like it a lot.
Right.
And that's cool. Like, that's an awesome hobby to have. But then there's going to be the people that, you know, back in the day when you would have been outcasted for it, they're like going to be automatically, they'll know that they love it.
Right.
You know, and you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so I totally get it.
Kind of works itself out in the end. But
yeah. How has it been? I mean, this is a question. It came up this weekend, actually, because I actually have an exit strategy from personal bodybuilding.
Right.
You know, and part of my goal when I'm done is to get down in size as fast as possible. That's actually going to be an active motivation.
Right.
You know, I actually have a financial bet on how fast I can get down to 240, which is funny because it will be very hard. But for you, how's it been transitioning now? Is there moments of fuck, man, I've been a bodybuilder for 20 years. And even though you're still a bodybuilder, you were always doing this. You were always shooting to go up. It was more, 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 bigger, bigger, bigger.
Yeah.
How is that mentally clicking in? Is there any difficulties, or what's it like?
So that's actually something I've been thinking about a lot. You know, I was, like you said, always doing that. Like, that was the reason I was eating. That's the reason I was training, was always to make some kind of gain, you know?
Right.
And the only time I would ever bring my body weight down on purpose was to compete.
Yeah, so, which meant you were still fucking huge and shredded.
Which meant I was still trying to keep all my muscle and, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So when I first decided, like, finally said, okay, I'm going to stop being 300 pounds.
Right.
And then I just sat at, like, 290 for a whole year.
Yeah. And so, if I came into town and we ate really good for like a day and a half, you were back over 3.
Right. And if I like went on a road trip and hammered the burgers, I'd be like 301 when I got home. And I was like, okay, I'll go back down to 290. And, you know, I guess it was sort of part of the gradual process. Like, I couldn't let go all at once.
Right.
You know? And then when I said, well, you know what? Why don't I just diet, get really lean, and then wherever my body weight winds up eventually is fine. And, you know, it'll get me used to being lighter. And it'll, you know, obviously the best part of dropping weight has been eating less. I honestly just love the fact that I eat like 5 meals a day. They're not that big, you know, it's really great. And then the funny thing is I get shocked sometimes at how good my training still is and how much muscle I still have, considering how little I eat generally.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? I wonder if that's just an age thing and how many years I've kind of pounded the muscle in, you know?
I think it's how you, I already know my answer to that. It's how you pounded the muscle in, because you are old school. Your muscle was old school muscle. It was training and food. And oh yeah, I took some supplements too. Whereas I feel like these guys coming up now, and I'm obviously grouping as if it's everyone, but a lot of people coming up now, I call it drug muscle.
Right.
Because as soon as you pull the drugs, it's gone. I mean, like, have you ever worked out before gone?
Yeah.
And that's the argument that Dante and I get in all the time about me, because he's the one that's telling me you ain't getting down to 240 anytime soon. And I'm like, 240, 230. Like, I will get there. And he's like, that muscle is just not going to want to go.
Yeah. The big thing, you know, the food and then the lack of drugs. So, you know, I'm pretty open. I think we've talked about it on the show, but I basically just run in like a 250 a week test level. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go every 10 days. And then occasionally I'll do like a little 6 week kind of a little pop blast. Mm-hmm. And it's like still like, fuck, I just add one more
thing. You're wild and go to 400 milligrams?
Go to like 500 test and 300 EQ for 6 weeks or something like that. So it's and nothing else, like no growth, no nothing. So, you know, and then back down to just taking a bit of test, and I keep thinking like, fuck, I thought I'd be lighter by now,
right?
But you know, I keep training like a maniac, and you know, trying to keep up to my training partner now, is getting stronger than me. So you know what I mean? Like it's still so fun in the gym, and I guess that's the what it comes down to, is I'm still having so much fun training. But you know, if you told me, hey, you got to go down to 245 now, I'd be like, okay, I'd be cool with that, as long as I can still keep training hard.
Right.
That's still the funnest thing. And then I guess one of the big things to answer your question is, it's tough for a guy like you and me who did everything with that progressive mindset to train hard in a regressive state. Does that make sense?
No, but yes, I know exactly. Right? Yeah. It makes perfect sense. And I don't ever want to do this,
but I guess my mindset is adapted, and I'm just keeping in mind that everything is contextual and relative to my situation.
Right.
So food down, supplements way down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can still try to progress to be better than I would be on in that situation. Like, I'm still going to fight to hold all the muscle I can, you know? So there's still a progressive philosophy in my head. Like, I'm still trying to move up a set of dumbbells again, you know, just like I did every other past. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the interesting part is, so the term that was used, it almost like, you ever have a conversation with someone where they make a remark and you're kind of like, it sticks to you. I'm talking to someone, they were like, I'm nervous that you will be lost. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I don't identify with bodybuilding that much. And they're like, no, because you're not chasing up.
Right.
Like, and that is how I live every piece of life, is what else? You know what I mean? You get to a, whether it be financial or bodybuilding or something, as soon as I'm almost to a goal, I need the next one. So that's why my plan, actually, when I'm done, is I won't train like a bodybuilder anymore.
Right.
Because I won't, then I need to pull 800 or 900, you know what I mean? So my plan is actually, I want to be athletic again, because I was an athlete up until I got into bodybuilding. So it'll be a complete shift in gears. And first it'll be drop weight so I can safely even attempt to do those things. But then it will be a goal of progression in athletic endeavors, which should handle the mindset side and hopefully help me lose some fucking muscle.
So that's what you're saying is, you're cutting straight to the next stage that I already know I'm going to go through.
Right.
That's I know that I'm going there eventually. I just don't know when it's going to happen. But you know, like I see people at the gym even like doing box jumps, and there's this one trainer at my gym who's, well, there's several trainers at my gym that are extremely athletic, but there's this one dude that, like, you know, just does the most athletic one-legged jumping stuff. And I look at that and I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I remember my football days doing the ladder, you know, pop, 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 popping your feet everywhere. And, you know, and I think, it might be fun to do some of that shit. Like, I'm starting to get a little bit of the future vision of including that sort of stuff in my training, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why. You always got to have something you got to chase, Dusty.
You do though. Like, you have, like, that's why I had to ask you, because it was funny. Like, it was one of those things where at first I was like, no. And then I was like, fuck. Like, shit, I got to figure this out, because I mean, I've got a couple years before I'm planning on doing it, but, I did realize literally in a, you know, 5 minute conversation, like, fuck, I have to have a plan to do this. Because when I was, I do, when I'm done with something, I'm done. Like when I was done playing hockey, cause I was at such a level.
Yeah.
I didn't want to I played one like men's league game. And I remember I was getting dressed, leaving. And I was like, this fucking sucked. These players suck. They're slow. They're not where they're supposed to be.
They weren't like, serious enough.
Yeah. I just couldn't even enjoy it. And that's how I look at exiting bodybuilding. It's like, I want to go back to being at the bottom of some other thing that I can chase again.
So you want to know something funny? You know, when you see someone who's like a hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
And they're on the headset and they're like playing Call of Duty or whatever. And they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I sometimes think, that's why I can never pick up another video game controller.
Because you'll become that.
I always fucking loved games, but I just stopped playing them. I almost felt like that just takes too much time out of my day. Right. You know what I mean? I used to play games hours a day back when I was younger, and I just stopped. And I'm like, now I know what I would do. There'd be a lot of hours would go into that. Too much time. I got shit to do. I got businesses to run. Like, right. You know what I mean? So, sure. You know, I mean, of course, you know, the best in the world are winning millions of dollars now. So that's a different situation.
No, for sure. But no, I mean, it's very interesting. That's why I was curious where you were at, because you're still obviously so big, but I know that that's the goal. Like your eventual plan is to come down. And that's why I was curious what the mindset is, because we do get a lot of that. I mean, people ask all the time, I'm sure you get it too, are you going to do this forever? And it's like, yes, but I can't do it like this, because like you said, progressive, regressive, you know, I know what would happen. I would be that guy that walks away from bodybuilding or walks away from, when I say bodybuilding, I mean the stage, I mean the gym and the eating.
Right.
And then I start to get the itch again, and then the food starts coming back up again. And then I start hitting numbers again, and next thing you know, I'm back to bodybuilding without the stage. And I really want to – I don't want to be 45 years old and 320 pounds.
Yeah. And I've heard other guys talk about this, like Ben and I, when he was here for his seminar, we had a conversation where he said, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be lighter and healthier and like super ultra fit man. And then, you know, someone will come stay with me who – wants to do the Olympia, and I start training with them, and then next thing you know, I'm 285, and then I'm like, ah, shit.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's why it's like, I gotta like exit, you know? Like, hey, Ron, I'm coming into town, and we are not going to your fucking gym.
Well, there's four or five guys that I know that if they came to town and said, hey, let's go train, I'm gonna be like, fuck yeah. And it's right. Like, you know, I, you know, they're still, you know, you're one of them. Every time right. you come to town, I'm like, ah, okay, I guess it's another dusty workout. You know, I don't know. I still find myself privileged and fortunate enough to be able to survive the dusty workout.
You know, they're so slow. You get 3 minutes between sets sometimes. I mean,
three.
That's for you. I didn't say me. I get five. Okay. People ask me all the time, like, how long do you wait between sets? I'm like, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, that's, time is just a fluid concept with my training. Do not let such boundaries interfere with your mindset.
How much time? Five sets. But how much time? Five sets.
Five sets. I got all day, actually.
Nothing to do after this.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There was a power lifter at my gym the other day, and she did like a set of squats like every 15 minutes.
You're thinking that'd be cold.
I was gonna be like, I'd have to rewarm up again.
Oh fuck yeah.
No?
That's long for me, but I do see those. We have those in the gym. I've been going down to a different gym. I have a pull leg day. So it's the day that I do the deadlift or I do my
pull.
Yeah, pull leg day. So it's
I
like
I said pull. And I was like, what do strippers have to do with this?
They have to do with everything. But anyways, hey, I have my why too.
Yes, find your why, Dusty.
So it was funny because we're doing stiffs off the floor, you know, and I'm kind of warm. And there was a power lifter in Iraq. He was just sitting there watching because he had so much free time, you know. And I get done and he goes, that was awesome. And I was like, oh, and I didn't know what he meant. And I was like, cool. And he goes, no, just, you know, to watch a bodybuilder power lift, but do it so quickly.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, you're the first person that ever said I trained fast. Thank you for that. I wish Ron was here. You know, because Matt goes, then I go, and then we add a plate. And then Matt goes and I go, and I'm like, for us, that's why I hate like hack squats. It's such a long day because it's my first heavy push. We're starting at two plates a side and working up to 10.
Yeah. So what the fuck was going on in that video you posted doing the hacks with all the, you had bands holding plates on and then plates piled behind your head.
I was just trying to find a place to put them.
Jesus.
And then the ones behind my head slipped and they started dragging on the actual machine.
Well, how did that feel for you?
Well, the thing is it was, I didn't know because it was already so heavy.
What? So I thought I figured 900 pounds.
Well, I mean, I felt one
added
hit,
drag.
I felt one hit me, you know, and I was like, oh, that sucked. And then thankfully there was a dude that trains our gym. He just happened to be watching. And Matt points, and he just reaches over and slides him off the thing so I can keep going.
Yes,
so I'm like, yeah, no words needed, and I can't hear you guys anyway. So.
Another thing, too, is I think you have I know around six or seven plates it starts to happen, but that Icarian hack squat, which is a great hack squat, it's flexing quite a bit on you with like nine, yeah, nine, 10 plates.
I told Matt, I was like, I don't know how much the machine can hold because I can feel it. Or yeah. At the top, the whole machine, you can feel it kind of shift when you kind of pop up, you know, because you get through that strength curve and then it gets a little easier at the last 2 inches or so.
Yeah, you finish off strong.
You feel the fucking, the plate, the foot plate move. I remember the first couple times I was like, this won't like break, will it?
Yeah.
No, so it's definitely been interesting, but it's been fun to kind of have some numbers to chase. But like I said, that workout takes so long and my attention span is so short. I'm like,
I laughed at one of your responses. Someone asked you, would you ever do volume training or something? And you were like, no, my attention span is, I couldn't do four heart sets or something. I'd get so bored.
Yeah, no, that's what we ran into, and it was terrible. But when John Jewett wrote my program, it was awesome. It was, I mean, literally, I know what a great program is. I know he knows his shit, but I'm a child. Like, I can't. I'm not capable of that guy's stuff. So JP is obviously also a child, and he was like, you're going to do these two sets, and you're going to try to die. And I'm like, I can do that. Yes.
Yes, I hate myself that much.
That's perfect. I can try it. I can do this. You know what's crazy, though, is I'm a terrible presser. Always.
Sorry? I thought you said terrible person.
Well, that too. But a terrible presser for sure. And so I've moved in some stuff I've never done. We're doing like floor presses.
Okay.
Things like that. And I'm still a terrible presser, but I'm starting to realize that probably in 6 months I won't be. Like the changes, the strength gains, like last week's pressing, couple movements, I was up like 30 pounds and 3 reps. And you're like, this is going to get interesting in a hurry. I kind of like this.
Yeah, you have a totally new movement to progress on, so there'll be rapid progression.
No, but I'm talking about that affecting my old movements.
Oh, okay.
So now, you know, I mean, like, so I dropped down, I had done 405 on the incline 2 weeks in a row for 6 reps, which it's too early to be flattening out, but the top range is 9. So I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna drop down and shoot for 9. So I was like, I'm gonna go 385. That seems sensible based on my chest and knowing it's a little bit weak on the press, you know? So I dropped down 20 pounds. And I get 12.
Sweet.
And I'm like, shit. So I'm sitting there and I asked, you know, I asked JP and he was like, it's going to be tough right now because your strength is doing this on everything. So the what should be typical easy math to guesstimate on dropping down didn't really work because I would have never said, oh, just drop down 10 and you're going to get 3 more reps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So dropping down 20 for 3 more reps seems sensible. It didn't think I was going to go destroy it. So it's been fun, man. It's brought a different level of, it's like a bodybuilding totally different again, even though I'm doing a lot of my usual stuff.
Right.
you know, so it's been a lot of fun. And it's interesting to see the questions people ask, because like my eating, JP and I, you know, put together the eating, but I still, if I'm up too long, I just eat more. You know, I had somebody put, oh, is that something JP had you do? And I'm like, nah, those meals were already gone.
Right.
Thus the macaroni and cheese just came in all on its own.
So when do we get a picture of you doing a side chest at 320?
Got it. Not as soon as I had thought. It's funny. I gained 8 pounds, something like that, in the first week. JP was like, all right, we'll leave it, because, I mean, shit, you gained 8 pounds. I dropped 5 the next week. So we increased the food again, and I stayed the next week. Right. It's like I just started getting leaner and stronger. So, you know, this weekend I ate a bunch, but it was kind of all over the place when I was on the road. So this week we'll push again. But, I mean, I was stunned at how quick I got shot back up to, like, 298. And then was back down to 295 and kind of stayed there for a bit. So I really thought I'd be at 305 in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know what I mean? So it's interesting to see how the body changes. It's harder for me to gain weight. I'm not even saying muscle, weight, than it used to be. Like it's like somehow, whether it's the training or what, but putting on even fat is harder than it used to be.
Well, there's something to be said about, you know, I think people think about training volume too much when they think about like burning calories working out. Mm-hmm. There's this, you know, you think about HIIT cardio and the carryover that comes from HIIT cardio. Yep. Well, what's the carryover from a Widowmaker set on the pendulum squat?
Right.
You know, like the metabolic hammering that the type of training you do does, I think you see it when guys get to where you are, where they're moving the poundages you're moving at the intensity levels you're moving, the food just has to be, it just gets silly.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at now, is that's actually what he's added, is on that pull leg day, the calories are even higher there.
Yeah.
And then of course, when you're more experienced, I add things. Like if I finish a meal and I can put, you know, and I'm out somewhere, I'll order 3 cookies too, just because fuck it.
Wow. Let me know when you start pouring oil on all your meals.
I've been there before. I have a feeling that's where I end up, because my appetite's not great for volume anymore either. Like I'm really not a huge eater unless it's bullshit. Like if it's pizza, I can show you.
How much MCT oil can you put on your food before you shit yourself?
Doing the circles. Yeah. Oh, I've been there. Fuck.
Okay.
Brutal.
Well man, I think that's a perfect way to end a show, is on a shitting yourself metaphor.
Is that usually where we end it? That or strippers? Yeah. Let's do this.
It's perfect. It's perfect. We got an hour and a half here, which is just what we wanted, Dusty. And I think people are going to be glad we threw some Coach's Corner in the end there, because I see in the comments a lot they still want that, even if there's an interview.
Absolutely. I know. I'm going to start doing like 2 segments. What would you like to know for our guest? And by the way, what do you want Ron and I to tell you about as well?
No, we gotta thank Sean again for coming on. He's so freaky in person, man. And you know, when he was talking about winning as a bantamweight, if you look at his pictures, you could see like he's still got, like he's tiny, but his pecs are still round, his delts are still round, his abs, quads are still round.
Yep.
So like you can just see the roundness in everything, and you're like, oh well. You know when you see roundness, it's like a precursor to like Flex Wheeler look, right?
I was saying, I can't make a guy like me more round, but I can make a guy like him bigger.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Exactly. Exactly. So that's, you see the potential, and then you see him as a middleweight and you're like, oh yeah, you know, or a lightweight. And you're like, oh yeah, you know, and it just gets crazier. But the look he had at the Olympia, I remember seeing him this year and just thinking, Jesus, that's just, he took that physique to the far end of that spectrum. And I just think of all the people he must have shut up along the way.
Oh, for sure. When you're looking, Derek is wacky birthright bodybuilding, to hit a rear double with him giving up 30 some odd pounds and not look small.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people don't realize is, like, just how much the illusion is such a game player. Because we're not talking about a big guy who isn't round. We're talking about Derek, who's round and huge. And you still don't look small next to him, giving up 30, 40 pounds?
No.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the ultimate illusion with the tiny joints and everything. So it's awesome to see him up there. And, you know, I know I intrinsically root for the underdog in a lot of situations if I'm not, you know, especially if you're not invested in anybody.
Right.
You tend to, like, you know, if there's a football game on and I don't care about the teams, I sort of go, well, which team is...
Yeah, which one's supposed to win? I don't
want yeah, them. Yeah, I always root for the underdog. And, you know, at Clarita, just because of his size and because of what everyone's always said, I mean, he's always been an underdog. And that's why he's as good as he is. I thought that story he told about that basketball coach was fucking awesome.
For sure.
The fact that he knew it right away. Didn't you know what I mean? He's like, oh, well, I know exactly the moment I'll tell you about.
Yeah.
And I really like hearing that. That's a great question for all the guests, you know?
I agree, for sure.
Okay, buddy. I guess I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. We'll be back for 23.
Episode 23. Man. It's coming.
Insane. Okay. All right.
Okay, remember, like, subscribe, comment, share. It's just bodybuilding.